Well, we made it to a new week. Welcome to episode 363 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. How was your weekend? I had planned on going on a motorcycle trip with a bunch of guys from church this last Saturday, but as it turned out, I was not able to do that because I had a lot of stuff that I had to do for Sunday's worship service. Oh well, next time. I hope you had a good weekend. This is a Monday through Friday podcast, and we're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Also, I try to average about 10 minutes per show. Today we're going to read the last two chapters in the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, chapters 23 and 24. And we'll read today from the New Century Version. Let's begin. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. These are the last words of David. This is the message of David, son of Jesse. The man made great by the Most High God speaks. He is the appointed king of the God of Jacob. He is the sweet singer of Israel. The Lord's Spirit spoke through me, and His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, "Whoever rules fairly over people, who rules with respect for God, is like the morning light at dawn, like a morning without clouds. He is like sunshine after a rain that makes the grass sprout from the ground. This is how God has cared for my family. God made a lasting agreement with me, right and sure in every way. He will accomplish my salvation and satisfy all my desires. But all evil people will be thrown away like thorns that cannot be held in a hand. No one can touch them except with a tool of iron or wood. They will be thrown in the fire and burned where they lie." These are the names of David's warriors. Josheb-Bashebeth, the Tekemonite, was head of the three. He killed 800 men at one time. Next was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. Eleazar was one of the three soldiers who were with David when they challenged the Philistines. The Philistines were gathered for battle, and the Israelites drew back. But Eleazar stayed where he was and fought the Philistines until he was so tired his hand stuck to his sword. The Lord gave a great victory for the Israelites that day. The troops came back after Eleazar won the battle, but only to take weapons and armor from the enemy. Next, there was Shammah, son of Agi the Harahite. The Philistines came together to fight in a vegetable field. Israel's troops ran away from the Philistines. But Shammah stood in the middle of the field and fought for it and killed the Philistines, and the Lord gave a great victory. Once, three of the 30, David's chief soldiers, came down to him at the cave of Adullam during harvest. The Philistine army had camped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and some of the Philistines were in Bethlehem. David had a strong desire for some water. He said, "Oh, I wish someone would get me water from the well near the city gate of Bethlehem." So the three warriors broke through the Philistine army and took water from the well near the city gate of Bethlehem. Then they brought it to David, but he refused to drink it. He poured it out before the Lord, saying, "May the Lord keep me from drinking this water. It would be like drinking the blood of the men who risked their lives." So David refused to drink it. These were the brave things that the three warriors did. Abishai, brother of Joab, son of Zeruiah, was captain of the three. Abishai fought 300 soldiers with his spear and killed them. He became as famous as the three and was more honored than the three. He became their commander, even though he was not one of them. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was a brave fighter from Kabzeel who did mighty things. He killed two of the best warriors from Moab. He also went down into a pit and killed a lion on a snowy day. Benaiah killed a large Egyptian who had a spear in his hand. Benaiah had a club, but he grabbed the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These were the things Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, did. He was as famous as the three. He received more honor than the 30, but he did not become a member of the three. David made him leader of his bodyguards. The following men were among the 30: Asahel, brother of Joab, Elhanan, son of Dodo from Bethlehem, Shammah the Haradite, Elika the Haradite, Helez the Paltite, Ira son of Ikesh from Tekoa, Abiezer the Anathothite, Mabunai the Hushathite, Zalman the Ahohite, Meharai the Netophathite, Heled, son of Baana the Netophathite, Ithai, son of Ribai from Gibeah in Benjamin, Benaiah the Pirathonite, Hiddai from the ravines of Gaash, Abi-Albon the Arbathite, Asmaveth the Barhumite, Eliabah the Shealbonite, the sons of Jashan, Jonathan, son of Shammah the Hararite, Ahiam, son of Sherar the Hararite, Eliphelet, son of Ahazbi the Maacathite, Eliam, son of Ahithophel the Gilonite, Hezro the Carmelite, Peara the Arbite, Igal, son of Nathan from Zobah, the son of Hagri, Zelech the Ammonite, Nahari the Beerothite, who carried the armor of Joab, son of Zeruiah, Ira the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, and Uriah the Hittite. There were 37 in all. 2 Samuel chapter 24. The Lord was angry with Israel again, and he caused David to turn against the Israelites. He said, "Go, count the people of Israel and Judah." So King David said to Joab, the commander of the army, "Go through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and count the people. Then I will know how many there are." But Joab said to the king, "May the Lord your God give you 100 times more people, and may my master the king live to see this happen. Why do you want to do this?" But the king commanded Joab and the commanders of the army, so they left the king to count the Israelites. After crossing the Jordan River, they camped near Aroer, on the south side of the city, in the ravine. They went through Gad and on to Jazer. Then they went to Gilead, in the land of Tatim-Hodshai, and to Dan-Jaan, and around to Sidon. They went to the strong walled city of Tyre, and to all the cities of the Hivites and the Canaanites. Finally, they went to southern Judah, to Beersheba. After 9 months and 20 days, they had gone through all the land. Then they came back to Jerusalem. Joab gave the list of the people to the king. There were 800,000 men in Israel who could use the sword, and 500,000 men in Judah. David felt ashamed after he had counted the people. He said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly by what I have done. Lord, I beg you to forgive me, your servant, because I have been very foolish." When David got up in the morning, the Lord spoke his word to Gad, who was a prophet and David's seer. The Lord told Gad, "Go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I offer you 3 choices. Choose one of them, and I will do it to you." So Gad went to David and said to him, "Should 3 years of hunger come to you and your land? Or should your enemies chase you for 3 months? Or should there be 3 days of disease in your land? Think about it. Then decide which of these things I should tell the Lord who sent me." David said to Gad, "I am in great trouble. Let the Lord punish us, because the Lord is very merciful. Don't let my punishment come from human beings." So the Lord sent a terrible disease on Israel. It began in the morning and continued until the chosen time to stop. From Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 people died. When the angel raised his arm toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord felt very sorry about the terrible things that had happened. He said to the angel who was destroying the people, "That is enough. Put down your arm." The angel of the Lord was then by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. When David saw the angel that killed the people, he said to the Lord, "I am the one who sinned and did wrong. These people only followed me like sheep. They did nothing wrong. Please punish me and my family." That day Gad came to David and said, "Go and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." So David did what Gad told him to do, just as the Lord commanded. Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming to him. So he went out and bowed face down on the ground before the king. He said, "Why has my master the king come to me?" David answered, "To buy the threshing floor from you so I can build an altar to the Lord. Then the terrible disease will stop." Araunah said to David, "My master and king, you may take anything you want for a sacrifice. Here are some oxen for the whole burnt offering, and the threshing boards and the yokes for the wood. My king, I give everything to you." Araunah also said to the king, "May the Lord your God be pleased with you." But the king answered Araunah, "No, I will pay you for the land. I won't offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 1¼ pounds of silver. He built an altar to the Lord there and offered whole burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered his prayer for the country, and the disease in Israel stopped. May God bless the reading of his word. Okay, so what's the deal? In chapter 24, verse 1, we're told that the Lord caused David to turn against Israel and to order a census of both Israel and Judah. And then, after the results of the census are given to David, he becomes ashamed of what he has done, and he confesses to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly by what I've done." Well, what's going on here? How could he have sinned if he did what the Lord caused him to do? First, let's tackle the question of why taking a census would be considered a sin. Theologians have differing opinions on this, but since we have limited time, I'll tell you which one makes the most sense to me. We know that pride is a bad thing, right? Pride is the root of many, if not most, sins. For example, it was pride that caused Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Satan told them, "Eat this and you'll be like God." So here, when David is an old man, he starts thinking about his life and looking at all he's accomplished. He started out as a poor shepherd boy, and now he's king of all Israel and Judah. And maybe, just maybe, his pride causes him to wonder just how many people over whom he is king. He wants to stroke his own ego by seeing how vast his kingdom is. Does that make sense to you? Now, about God causing him to take a census. First, we know that God does not tempt anyone to sin. As a matter of fact, we just read that in James 1:13, just 5 episodes ago, episode number 358. So here's what happened. God allowed Satan to tempt David to do this thing. In 1 Chronicles 21:1, we have another account of this very event. And there the scripture says, "Satan was against Israel, and he caused David to count the people of Israel." So, just as God allowed Satan to attack Job, he allowed Satan to tempt David. And because of David's pride, he succumbed to the temptation, and he did it. Now, to David's credit, when he comes to his senses and realizes the sin, he immediately confesses it to the Lord. He doesn't try to rationalize the sin away. He faces it, and he accepts that punishment is coming. And then, when God tells him to build an altar on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite, he insists on buying the property and the sacrifice from Araunah, saying, "I won't offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." Friend, if your offering costs you nothing, it is not a sacrifice. It is a token with little meaning. A sacrifice must carry a cost. If you feel God calling you to make some sort of sacrifice, it does not honor him if what you bring him means nothing to you. The sacrifice he made for your sins and mine was the blood and the life of his only begotten Son. My sacrifices can never match that, but when I give to the Lord, my gift should come with some sort of sacrifice. It's just another way of honoring and worshiping him. What do you think? If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 363.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at @_stevewebb_#lifespringmedia. Tomorrow we'll finish the book of 1 Peter. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.